morning.
Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building this morning, Kamani Marley.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
What's up, brother?
My brother. Thanks for having me.
That means adventurous traveler, right?
Yeah.
That's
what my mama said.
I saw you at my spot the other day in Brooklyn, Footprints.
Yeah. I like that little spot. First time in there.
Really? I go there all the time. Yeah, that's my little Brooklyn spot.
Oh, yeah.
This may be a stupid question, but you don't ever get tired of Jamaican food?
It's so much. Mm-hmm. It's so much because they say we're from many one people. So you have like Indian Jamaican food, and you have Chinese Jamaican food, and then you got Jamaican food.
Yeah.
It's a lot of options.
So yeah, I like the Jamaican.
It's a lot to choose from, yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, you have a new album coming out next week.
Got a new album coming out. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, why 8 years of a break?
Counting that money.
I wish. I think, you know, it was just that I was just, you know, trying to get away from my last company. And so we went through that process of paperwork and everything else. And then, you know, after that, it was making sure that when I do release this album, that the production is on point and the lyrical content is on point, and we do have a complete album versus, you know, running in the studio, making a few songs and then trying to throw it all out on the album. Mm-hmm. It was important for me to make sure that I was comfortable and I was, you know what I mean, excited about it. So,
is there any pressure with your dad, of course, being Bob Marley, to make sure it's kind of like, you know, he's the great NBA player, now you're in the league and you want to score just as much or more?
You know what, I've never felt that pressure because I think the mark that my father left there is you can't duplicate that. You know what I mean? That won't be replicated. And so for me, it was just important to stay true to the legacy, stay true to myself, and just try to make good music and, you know, see what comes of it.
Now, is it true you weren't aware of your musical abilities as a child?
Not at all. Growing up, for me, the furthest thing from my mind was music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For me, it was all about playing football or at the ball, playing basketball or whatever it may be. And so for me, my music, I say it all the time, like my musical career started kind of like a fluke. Kind of like, you know what I mean? I'm at a friend's house playing around. He had a little sound system, and he was like, he's going out to play tonight. So I should give him a dub plate. And I'm like, bro, I don't sing. Like, well, you're Marley, so it don't matter. Just say something. And, you know, I started playing around on the mic. And at the time, a producer by the name of Carl Peterson walked in. Now, Carl used to do some work with my pops in the early days. You know, he kind of said to me, you got a nice tone. You know, you should come through the studio and see what we can do. And started going there once a week, started writing music, and one thing led to the other. One of the earliest songs I wrote was a song called Dear Dad. It was a letter to my pops. And that's what got me my first record deal. And it was funny because I wrote that song when I was about 16 and got the deal when I was about 18. And, you know, I took that little bus ride. Yeah, I am now.
You also have memoirs called Dear Dad as well.
Yeah, I did.
Right, and that was, I remember that came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah, roughly about 5 years.
Yeah, it was a little bit controversial at the time. Because there were some interesting things in there, I think, that people didn't know about you.
And yeah.
I believe the family wasn't too happy with some of it.
I mean, I don't think the family was unhappy about any of it. But I think I come from very humble beginnings. And I don't know if that's what they, you know, thought would be controversial or not. But I'm from very humble beginnings. You know, I was raised in Jamaica until I was 8 years old in a little wooden two-bedroom house, a little countryside. And you know, I remember my grandma moving to America and mom telling me, you know, grandma's filing for us, so we'll be living in America soon. And I just remember I had this image of what my home was going to be like and this new life that I was heading to. And I still remember the night, you know, coming over, landing in Miami and just seeing all the lights and being, you know, in awe. And it was night, so I remember when I got to the house, it didn't look like the house I had in my mind.
Right.
But I'm like, all right, it's late. Yeah, I was in Miami. I grew up in Liberty City. And so when I woke up the morning, I realized that I was still in a two-bedroom wooden house with 9 people, worse than the one that I left in Jamaica.
Wow.
And across the street from a crack house.
Wow.
And so... And so that was my introduction. You know what I mean? And
people might have envisioned you growing up with like a silver spoon in your
everybody,
mouth.
Everybody, yeah. Exactly. You know, they would assume that your dad is Bob Marley, that you had riches and you had mansions in Jamaica.
Right.
But you were kind of cut off from the family.
I wouldn't say cut off. It was just, you know, the things that was happening at that particular time.
Mm-hmm. So your family got mad at you for telling the truth? What they want you to do is say, talk about how you came up rich.
The family wasn't mad. I think people just assumed that the family was mad. You know what I mean? But it's, your truth is your truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No matter what it is, no matter how good, no matter how bad, your truth is your truth, and you can't go around it.
Do you ever think that record labels were possibly just giving you deals because of your last name?
I wasn't getting no deals.
Oh. It actually can help hurt you, don't you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a double-bladed sword, because a lot of people, you know, I think they assume that you don't need the chance, mm-hmm. or you don't deserve the chance because you're from such. And then you have a lot of people that will give you that opportunity because, you know, they're interested and they gravitate to the name and the legacy. So, you know, it works both ways.
Right.
Now, do you get, like, how is that broken down? There's so much Bob Marley stuff out there. I mean, everything. Bob Marley headphones.
Merchandise. Shirts.
I mean, it might be a Bob Marley liquor. Like, I just drink a beer. Everything is Bob Marley. Does the family eat off of that?
Yeah. Yeah,
I just met Rohan Marley the other day, and he was telling me about the coffee that you guys have coming out.
Is it weed in it?
Not yet. We're working on the fusion. Yeah.
But you guys eat off of all that?
It's through licensing. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. The family benefits from everything that's out there, Marley.
Now, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Oh, wow, it's 10 of us.
Yeah,
it's 10 of us.
Who are you closest to, Damien? What'd you say? Because you guys are the youngest and work together a lot.
I'm close to all my brothers, you know. I'm close to all, but I grew up at Ron, because we both grew up in Miami. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when he was playing for the Hurricanes, we grew up together in Miami. So I would be closer to him in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all really have sports in y'all family, man. He played for the Hurricanes. He was in the football and stuff coming up.
Yeah. Played a lot of football, yeah. My mom is a table tennis champion. You know, so we're a pretty athletic bunch.
Table tennis.
What you mean?
Table tennis?
I'm pretty good at table tennis. Bro. It's very excruciating.
You ever try? Bro, you gotta have good hand to eye coordination, bro.
Did she make money?
I was in them days when table tennis were making no money, bro.
I'm doing that. Table tennis.
You just represent. Nah, you.
Back and forth with your homeboy.
Nah, she traveling world. But in them times, table tennis making money now.
I have
still
no idea.
Ain't making no money now. I mean, it's table tennis, but it's a sport.
It's the same thing as ping pong, right? We call it ping pong.
yeah, same thing.
Now, how do you make the most of your money right now? Like, is it music? I know you got your clothing line. What's called Confrontation?
Yeah, it's not really. Yeah. Something we're working on. But right now, it's definitely music. Mm-hmm. Definitely music. You know, we did a few movie projects. We did the One Love thing. We did the Shatters thing.
Classic Shatters.
Shatters is kind of like your life almost.
A piece of it,
you know, like Jamaica, Miami, selling drugs.
Yeah, a piece of it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to admit that on camera.
It's in his book. That would have been embarrassing, though, during a period of time in your life to get arrested, like for selling drugs, something like that. Then, you know, that probably would have been a big letdown.
That would have been, but you know, you grow up in these environments, and sometimes, you know, I don't want to say I was a product of that. Well, I definitely was a product of that environment, but we also have choices to make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we go through things where we feel as though the choices we make is the only choice we have to make at that particular time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was an interesting road, because I have a lot of friends that's not here. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of friends that's here, but I never see the light of day again. Mm. And so for me, it's going through all these trials and tribulation, and you know, feeling as though, well, maybe it's not just luck that's keeping me out of trouble. You know what I mean? Maybe my life do have a purpose. So it's important for me to start seeking and finding what that purpose is, and making sure that I move towards my purpose.
Right. I watched the video for All the Way. You actually filmed that in Jamaica?
Did that in Jamaica? Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you prefer, Jamaica or Miami, man?
Oh, Jamaica all the way. Jamaica's paradise. You ever been?
Absolutely.
Okay, then.
Well, actually, we all went
tell
together.
You, don't leave the resort. They'll kill you.
And you know what? And that's the BS about it. Because we Jamaicans, you don't hear about tourists being hurt. You know, sometimes you have a little one tourist that wandered out into the wilderness, mm-hmm. and you know, they might get their property taken away, but you don't hear about Jamaican hurting tourists. Like, that's never in the news. The majority
I heard
of the violence.
Whole track team that got laid down, though, and robbed.
Oh, that wasn't by us.
It was in Jamaica. Well, you said the violence
was? I mean, the violence is just like here, it's within the community. Mm. You know what I mean? It doesn't reach the outskirts where the tourists would be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so if you're listening, come to Jamaica anytime, you're safe.
It's one of my favorite places to visit. I'm going in September again.
Nice.
For my friend's birthday. Now, I told you I met your brother, Rohan Marley. Now, when you guys decide to do like a venture, does it have to get approved? Like, say you say, okay, I want to come out with the headphones, or he's doing the coffee. Is it something that you all have to sit down and say, okay, we're going to use the estate name for this? Everybody's.
Yeah, the family goes through that. It definitely has to be approved, because it definitely has. You know, we have to feel as though it's along the line. It's along the line of the legacy and what, you know, the brand represents. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a conversation that takes place and for approval.
Who runs the estate?
My sister runs the estate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sadella.
And you're relatively young, man. How old were you when your father passed?
I was 5 years old, my brother.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 5 years old when my father passed.
Do you have any memories with him?
I have one memory. You know what I mean? One memory. And that memory is him picking me up in a little country. I'm from a little town called Falmouth in Trelawney. And him picking me up, he had my older brother Steven with him. A friend of his by the name of Sangi, who's a guitar player. And he picked me and my mom up, and we went up to 9 Mile, is where he was from. And, you know, it's funny. I remember he had just got back from America, so he had this nice slingshot, first time seeing one made of iron and, you know, all the nice fancy things. We're used to the ones you just find a branch on the tree and make that. And I remember he had that slingshot, and me and my older brother went into the woods to go shoot at birds, and somehow the slingshot got lost on the way back. And I remember my Steven at the time telling me that, you know, you lost daddy's slingshot, you're going to be in trouble. And I remember, you know, just going back and forward, telling him he the one that lost it. So I remember walking back to the house, he was standing in the doorway, and I walked up to him and I said, Daddy, I lost the slingshot. Daddy, I'm going to lose the slingshot. And he looked down and he laughed. And it was at that point I realized, okay, well, I'm not getting the beating. Mm-hmm. And so I went back off the play, and that's the only memory I have of my father.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? How hard was it for you to put out the song Dear Dad that was a personal letter?
Oh, man, you know what? I say it all the time that song for me was the hardest song and the easiest song to write. Mm-hmm. You know, because even at the time of writing the song, I wasn't trying to write a Dear Dad song. I was actually trying to write some other lyrics, and was having a little writer's block. I stepped away for a second, went to read the Bible, and came back, and for some reason the first words was Dear God, I have a letter here from me to Dad. And that song pretty much wrote itself. Like, it's the only song I've ever written that I never had to think once of what the next word is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I remember that in the middle of writing that song, I broke down, because it was so emotional. You know, I've never really expressed anything. I'm not really the one to bring my problems to people. So I've never really expressed, you know, my feelings and what I'm feeling towards this whole situation. And so I wrote it in a song, and I remember, you know, being halfway through it and then just tears just running like a river. And mm-hmm. had to take a step away from it, and I came back to it, and, you know, just like I didn't stop, the song just wrote itself. And, you know, for maybe the first year of singing that song on stage, it was a very emotional time. But, you know, that song is very, very, if you ever heard it, it's a very personal song for mm-hmm. me. So that's what it is.
What traits and qualities do you have that people who know your father say, yeah, that's your pops?
Like father, like son.
I think I always hear humility. Mm. Yeah. I think that's the trait. A lot of people say I sound like him, too. So. I guess that's what I got.
Absolutely. Well, the album is coming out next week, and it's very, you know what, I was listening to some of the songs that you have on there, and I was wondering, do you ever go to the club and dagger or anything like that?
You're a grown ass man, boy. You
daggering, man. Nah, I go to the club and enjoy the festivities. I watch the daggering.
You don't wild out or anything ever?
No, I don't wild out, but I enjoy myself. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely not jumping off of speakers or jumping off of the table. None of that. Yeah.
Now, you got a saying, all people are equal, no one is above or beneath him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's just, that's not even something that's up for discussion. That's is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you have a dollar more than me, don't make you any more special than me. Just right. Make you have a dollar more than me.
Absolutely.
And if you have a dollar less than me, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? So.
And you're back on tour and back on the road?
Say it again.
You're back on tour and back on the road for
back
this
on
album.
Tour. Touring the West Coast July 9th to the 29th. Take a break off in August, and we're touring the East Coast in September.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a little album release party at LPR on the 29th. What's that, Monday? Next Monday. So, yeah, I'm excited. You know what I mean? I'm excited. I'm looking forward to getting back on the road. I'm looking forward to, you know, letting the people hear what I've been working on. So,
oh, we can't tell when you're excited.
Shit. Yeah, you've been calm.
You're very laid back and calm. Just,
you know why,
I take
too,
your
right?
word for it, though. Because you're high.
There you
go. Okay, I get it.
I'm high on life.
We appreciate you joining us.
Oh, and one more thing I wanted to ask you about was the Marley documentary. What did you think about that? Did you love that documentary?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. That documentary was on point. I even learned a few things that I didn't know. You know what I mean? So that documentary was nice. If you got a chance to watch it, it was a nice documentary, well put together.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that you didn't know you said that you learned from the documentary?
Oh, wow. I can't remember right now, but it was a few things
in you were like,
that,
wow.
You know, I had no knowledge of.
Oh, of your pops?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Did you go out of your way to do research, though? Like, when you got older, like, I do want to know the history of my pops. Like, did you talk to people?
You know what? I never really went out of my way to do research because there was always somebody there telling you about
them. Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Whether it was my grandma, God bless her soul, she's gone now. But she, you know, always telling you stories. And then you go to Jamaica and run into a whole bunch of his old friends, and they give you history, you know, a little piece of their history. So it's been like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you again for joining us.
Brad, thanks for having
nice
me.
Nice show in stores.
Breakfast Marley, the album stores. And it's the Breakfast Club.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.